Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara, at the upper part of Daf Zayin, Omid Aleph in Maseches Sanhedrin, is picking up with information that was discussed on the previous Omid, Daf Vav Omid Beis. On Daf Vav Amid Beis, the Gemara presented, in a Tanaic source, a few opinions regarding the issue of making compromises in the context of legal appearances in court. We saw different opinions, some of whom said that it's mutter to engage in pursuit of compromise. In fact, when learning the source on the previous Omid, it appears that two of the opinions are saying the same thing. And that leads us into the opening question of the Gemara. Before we go on, let us take advantage of one of our markings. We have an asterisk that we've written in to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the 4 lines from the top, with an indication that there's a corresponding marking on Vav Omid Beis. So what we do now is we glance back at Vav Omid Beis. We scan down the same side of the Gemara text over there, namely to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and do we see a corresponding asterisk? And yes, we do. The lower part of the page, we find a line beginning with Shimon ben Menasya. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya expressed his opinion regarding seeking compromise, and he said that before a certain point in the legal process, namely before you know where the case is heading, before you know, you, the dayan, the judge, know the conclusion, as long as the conclusion is not clear to you, you have a right to pursue compromise, even though they've already entered the court. This opinion seems to be reflected by the first opinion in the same source. Hence the Gemara asks, Hainu de Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. The Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya seem to say the same thing, that it's mutter to enter compromise. The Gemara answers, Iko Binayo, there is a point of difference between them. The following, it is necessary to read the next 2 lines as one phrase, and hence we've used a phrase marking the singular quotation marks from the beginning of this line to the end of the next line, because this represents a concept or an idea that was mentioned on the previous Omid. So the point of difference is as follows. Mishetishma divrayen v'ato yodea leheichon hadin noite, I ato rashoi loimar lohen tzu bitzu. This means that as a judge, as a group of judges, once you've heard the pleas of the litigants, and you know which direction the verdict is going to take, namely you know what the conclusion is going to be, at that point you're not allowed to suggest the parties entering a compromise solution. Well, are you allowed to or not? So according to the Tanakhama, even if you do know which direction the verdict is going to take, then, and even then, you are allowed to suggest compromise. According to the Tanakhama, compromise solutions are possible, are allowed until the Gemar Din. This is not the case with regard to Reb Shimon ben Menasya. In fact, these last 2 lines are part of a quote, so to speak, from the presentation of Reb Shimon ben Menasya on the previous Omid. As we go on into Gemara, even though the next word begins with a Vav, it might be a little bit misleading. The Vav usually is a word indicating a letter indicating a connection to that which was mentioned immediately before. In this case, the Vav does connect to that which was mentioned before, but not immediately before. On Daf Vav Amud Beis, we employed the bow tie marking to point out a series of approaches to the Pasuk Boltzea Beirech Ni'etz Hashem. At this point in the Gemara, you can see already a bow tie, number 4, appearing to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara with a long marking, a dashed vertical line indicating the length of this. This is number 4. What we're about to see then is a fourth approach to explaining the Pasuk Boltzea Beirech Ni'etz Hashem. So that the approaches that we saw before are not like the following. Upliga the Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi. What was mentioned before, as far as an explanation with regard to that pasuk, is at odds or is different or argues with Rav Tanchum's approach. The Omar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi. Lo ne'emar mikroze elo keneged maiso egel. This pasuk of Ubotzea Beirech Ni'etz Hashem was stated with regard to Aaron HaKoyen and his creation, creating the Egel HaZov. In that incident, it is said, Rashi explains, that Aaron made a compromise with himself. Shenemar, Vayar Aaron Vayiven Mizbeach Lefanov. Aaron saw something, and then, literally, it says, and he built an altar. However, the drosha on this is, as Rashi points out, he understood, vayiven is a loshon, not building, but understanding. Mizbeach means min hazavuach, from that which was slaughtered in front of him. Ma ra'ah, what did he see? Amar ben Yamin bar Yefes, Amar ben Lazar, ra'ah chur shezavuach lefonov. Aaron saw chur, who tried to protest their efforts, the Jewish people's efforts in creating the Egel, and they rose against him, they slaughtered him, they killed him. Aharon saw that in attempting to protest their desires, the only result is death. Omar. So Aharon figured, Eloi shamana lehu, hashta avdu li kida avdu b'chur. If I don't cooperate with them, they'll do to me what they did to Chur. Umekayim bi, and then by killing me, says Aharon, they will fulfill that which it says in the pasuk, Im Yarog B'Mikdash Hashem Kohen V'Novi. Aaron was a Kohen and a Novi, and if they were to, if they do that, V'lo Havilu Takant El Olam, they'll have no atonement, no repair, no correction from such an act. Rashi points out that in fact such an incident did take place during Vayis Rishon, and as a result of that, it is said that the Vayis Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Mutav, the Gemara continues. Aaron says, "Delevdu the Egel. Better they should build the Egel. Efshe Havilu Takata B'Tshuva. Through making an Egel, that does lend itself to Tshuva. However, through killing a Kayin Venovi, that is something that has that Tshuva will not help for." So with that, we were just exposed to Rav Tanchum's approach to Boltzea Beirech Ni'etz Hashem. That apparent, seemingly from this Gemara, that one who praises Aaron for his decision is scornful. In other words, Aaron's decision was, at least to put it mildly, questionable, and hence not something that was necessarily praiseworthy. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a squiggled arrow that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and it tells us, it forwards us, or backs us up to Daf Vav Amud Beis. What we should do, therefore, is to search out a similar marking on Vav Amud Beis, and we do, we find it, through the lower part of the page, opposite the area of the Gemara where the Tosfos ends. It was mentioned over there, the Gemara quoted the source quoted a pasuk, referring to the issue of at what point one can or cannot make a compromise. and the pasuk there was brought to say, to prove Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh's shita, that being compromise is allowed up till the point that you don't know what the verdict is supposed to be. The question the Gemara raises now is, what about those opinions that say even when you do hear what the litigants are going to say, and you do know where the verdict is going to go, what do they say about that pasuk? Because Reb Shimon Manasseh used that pasuk to say that once you know where the verdict is, how the verdict is going to go, you can no longer make compromise. So the opinions that say that you can still make compromise, what do they say? The Hani Tanoi, those opinions that say you're still allowed to make compromise, even late into the case. Vahani Tanoi, Poter, Mayim, Reishis Modoi, Mai Darshi Bei, what will they learn from that pasuk? As you can see, we have a Roman numeral number 2. This numbering system was started and also noted on the previous Amud. We had made a note there that the Roman numbers are represent a numbering of three approaches to the pasuk of Poter Mayim. So here's a second approach. Kidarav Hamuna. The Yomer Rav Hamnuna, Ein Tchilas Dinoi Shel Adam Nidoin Elo Al Divrei Torah. A person, when he has to give final accounting after his passing, the Asid Lavoi, the first issue that he'll have to give accounting for is his lack of Torah learning. In other words, if a person didn't maximize his abilities in Torah learning, didn't learn to the maximize use of energies and of hours, the first judgment he gives is on that issue. Shenemar poiter mayim reishis moldoin. To understand the explanation, we glance at Rashi. Poter mayim she poter haTorah me'olav. A person who shirks from upon himself his Torah learning obligation, who reishis medono. This will be his first point of judgment. Torah nimshala lamayim. Torah is compared to water. Dechtiv hoy kol tzomei luchu lamayim. And in that, we're understanding that pasuk is not just referring to simply the thirsty should go take a drink of water, but those who are lacking Torah, those who need Torah, and that is every one of us, should go to the mayim, to the Torah. So, as we see from the Rashi, poter mayim, one who tries to pater himself, one who tries to shirk from upon himself mayim, the Torah, Rashis Madon, that will be Rashis, the first of his being judged. We now see a third approach to the use of this pasuk, the actual incorporation of the pasuk into the Gemara will be seen primarily through Rashi a little later. Omar Rav Huna, we also have a little number 1, and we'll appreciate the point of that 1. We'll appreciate it in conjunction with a marking that we see. We see a house form at the end of the line. The explanation offered on the side in the Mivneh heading, which is a feature in the Shas Ozer to explain the different markings. So we see the house form, two misholim lema doime riv umachlokis. Two analogies to what we can compare arguments and confrontations. So Rav Huna says, Hai Tigra, a confrontation, an argument, Damya is compared to the Tsinura Debidka Demaya. We'll translate that a little later when we look at Rashi. This has to do with the widening of narrow channels from an overflowing river. The nature of these narrow channels is that the more the water goes through them, the wider the channel gets. Kevon de rovach rovach, as it widens, it widens. What's the connection between this and the pasuk that we just saw? So for this, we'll see Rashi, and with that, we'll also understand why we marked this statement of Rav Huna as a Roman numeral number 3. Rashi says, "Litzinuro debitka, kishanor godel peomim shu yotze lasodos shaal agapov." When water levels of rivers rise, they at times overflow their banks into fields that are located along its banks. Ke'en nigorim v'tsinoros ktanos, and they the water as it raises, it fills ditches and channels, small channels, pipes. V'im eino sosmo miad, if he doesn't block the water flow as it enters these channels, holech umarchiv, they it goes and widens. The shuv eino yochel sosmo, and when these channels ditches start to widen, get wide, he can no longer stop them up. A narrow opening one can easily plug up. When it gets too wide, he doesn't have control of it anymore. V'hainu dekomar kro, poter mayim. The posuk that we're dealing with that started by saying poter mayim, reishis modon, klomar. What does this suggest? What does this mean to say? Reishis modon umriva, the beginning of arguments and of confrontations, dome lepoter mayim. It's like the beginning of water. Poter poseach, like the opening, kamo peter rechem, just like a firstborn, a child that comes through the opening, comes into this world through an opening. So too over here, the drosha is saying poter mayim, the reishis modon. The reishis modon was the beginning of arguments, is like the opening of a water channel. And as we, the point being, the lesson being taught over here is, it's easier to stop arguments in the beginning. But if you let them continue, they continue and continue, and then the people who are at odds with each other often reach a point of no return. We continue in the Gemara calling the following, Abaye Kshisha, calling him number two. He is going to describe the phenomenon of arguments between people, as we saw in our Mivneh heading. This is a second analogy describing arguments between people. However, this is not dependent upon a pasuk, rather a simple analogy. Abaye Kshisha Omar, Domi, an argument is like, Leguda de Gamla, like a boardwalk or a bridge that is made by planks that are attached to one another. Kevan de kum kum. To understand this, we'll glance at Rashi next to the Gemara here. Leguda de Gamla, dapin shel gesher, planks of a bridge. B'tchilah k'shedor simaleim minanois. At first, when one takes his first step upon them, they shake. V'soif mischaskois v'nikbois b'mekomon. But as you go on, or as time goes on, they become fixed in their position. It could be that when a bridge is new, it's not fixed in its position, and hence they're shaky. But as time goes on, they gain strength and fasten themselves into place. V'hochi nami kishe'odom marbe biktoto, so too when a person prolongs his controversy, his fight, mischazekes, the controversy gains strength, uboa, velo, and it just continues and continues with strength. And the Rashi points out, velo mikro nafka, this analogy is not derived from the pasuk. As we continue with the Gemara, we take advantage of our topic heading with structural note combined, and you can see in the outside margin, no same as then, we see the double underline featured along with a series of diamonds. So these as series markings need to be explained. So we've indicated next to the double underline, Sidra Shel Amirois Amamiyot. There's a series of common sayings that were known and used by the public. In each case, after the Gemara presents the common saying, we will see in most of the cases, Rav Shmuel turns to his student Rav Yehuda. Later on in the Gemara, we'll see the last one of these. It won't be Rav Shmuel turning to Rav Yehuda, but rather Rav Huna will comment. But in most of these cases, we'll see Shmuel turning to Rav Yehuda, saying that which is perceived as a common saying actually has a basis. And our note says psukim, the diamonds will be introducing psukim shemochichim amirois hanal, which will be showing or proving these common sayings, giving them a basis in our Torah literature. Let us start the series of common sayings. Many of them we will learn Rashi alongside with them, as the language itself is a little hard to understand. Hahu dehavi ko'omar ve'ozil. There was someone going along and saying the following. Tuve deshoma v'odish chalfua bishtei mea. That Tuve, fortunate, is the one that hears himself being embarrassed by others, hears himself being belittled by others, v'odish, and remains quiet, and is accustomed to remaining quiet. He saves himself. They're literally chalfua bishtei mea. There passes over him many evils. We can say simply that he saves himself from a lot of trouble. Let's glance at Rashi to see this inside. Tuve deshoma viodish ashra, fortunate, sheshomea chirposo, that he hears his belittling, vishosek, and remains quiet, umargil b'kach, and is accustomed to that. Not a one-time ability to koyvesh his yeser, to control himself, but he's a regular at this. Viodish kemoi dedosh dosh, which means being accustomed to something. Chalfua bishte mea, holchulem b'shtikoso mea rose, there passes over him through his silence 100 evils. Shayubo salav ayodeh ha-tagor. Had he not remained silent, he would have encountered many confrontations and lots of trouble with others. So by remaining silent, he saves himself from all of these troubles. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Our Gemara continues, and Shmuel points out to him, Krogsiv, a posuk demonstrates this idea as well. Poter mayim reishis modon. In fact, in remaining true to our numbering system, we can entitle this, as we do here, a Roman numeral number 5, because this is a fifth approach to the pasuk of Poter mayim reishis modon. Gemara explains, Reishis, Reish, Mea, Dini. The Rashi explains here, Poter Mayim, Hamaschil, Uposeach, the Bachads, Uposeach, where he changes the reading here a little bit, Hamaschil, Uposeach, Biktota, one who opens up with arguments, that's Poter, he opens up with a flow of arguments, like a flow of water, we can say. Reishis modoin, who tchilas, reishis, the beginning of mea dini, 100 stripes. Modon, Rashi goes on to say, notrikon mea doni. It's like an abbreviation of modon, of the words mea dini. Here, Rashi offers another explanation, and that is a gematria explanation, that modon, the gematria mea. The numerical equivalent of the word Madon is 100. So we see the Pasuk used in a fifth way, that Poter Mayim, we're saying that one who opens up arguments, he's inviting himself a great deal of strife. Hence, we can infer from that the common saying that was shared by this man that said, fortunate is the one that remains quiet, who saves himself from all of those sayings, all of those strifes. Continuing in the Gemara, Hahu dehavu ko'omar v'ozil. There was a fellow going along and saying, Atarti tlas ganva lo miktil. Rashi says over here, Atrei tlas ganva lo miktil, klomar, im oiver odom avero pe'omim v'sholosh, pa'mayim v'sholosh. If a person violates a mitzvah 2 times or 3 times, v'lo ba'alav puranus, and he doesn't pay for it, he seems to get away with it, al yitameh, a person shouldn't be amazed, hey, I'm able to sin and get away with it. The atrei tlas ganva lo miktil, that for offenses of theft, lo miktil, a person's not killed. V'sofo lukos bachrona, but he'll get it at the end, he'll get punished at the end. Amar Lei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, our Gemara continues. Shmuel points out, Rav Yehuda, Krogsiv, a posuk indicates this. Ko amar Hashem al shloisha pid she'er Yisrael va'al bo'o lo ashivenu. That for 3 violations, they might get away with it, but after a 4th violation, I'm not going to except their penitence. Hahu the Omar the David Komar the Ozio, Shev Biri the Shalmana the Chada lo Ovid Bish. There are seven pits that are dug for the Shalmana, for the Ish Shalom, for the holy person, for the proper individual, for the tzaddik, and he's able to save himself from falling into all seven pits. However, v'chado, one pit is dug, la'ovid bish, for the evil man, and on the first chance for him to stumble, he'll stumble over that and be hurt. Omale Shmuel Rav Yehuda, kroksiv, there's a pasuk that indicates the difference between the tzaddik and the rosha when it comes to different stumblings. Ki sheva yipol tzaddik v'kom. The tzaddik may fall seven times, but he'll get up. The fact that he fell doesn't indicate his end. He'll get up. However, one can infer, there's a girsa on the outside margin that suggests over here that what's in parentheses doesn't appear, but rather u'rishoyim yikoshlu b'ra'a. Even if we don't have that, you could still infer from this that the tzaddik saves him, can fall, but he gets up. The Rosha, not so. Hahu dehava ko'omar v'ozil. The ozil mibe dina, someone who's coming out of court, shokal glima, and he lost the case, and the court ordered for him to take away, shokal glima, to take away his garment. In other words, to take it away as a means of paying the other fellow. So you have someone who went out of court and lost the case. Nevertheless, Lizmar Zamar Velezo Buurcho, he should sing a tune and go his way. In other words, he should be happy even though he lost the case. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Kroksiv. There's a posuk that indicates this as well. V'gam kol ha'om hazeh al mekoymoy yavo b'shalom. This pasuk is in the context of in Parshas Yisro, which Yisro organized a series of courts and an effective judging system, and it says that everybody kol ha'om hazeh, everybody, whether it be the person who wins the case or the person that loses the case, al mekoymoy yavo b'shalom, it's beneficial. Rashi points out, under the Dibor Masa, Lizmar Velezel, that he should sing a tune and go his way, Hoyol v'din emes dono, since he was judged a proper judgment, lo hifsi klum. He doesn't lose anything. If a person had he had possession of something wrongfully, and it was removed from him, so he's not losing anything. It wasn't his in the first place. Ela gezela hotzio miado. Rather, they extricated from him that which was his unlawfully anyway. Continuing with the common sayings, Hahu dehava komar v'ozil, he naimo v'dikula shofil. When she falls asleep, the woman, naimo falls asleep, the basket on her head falls off. Dikula, basket on her head, shofil falls off. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, kroksiv. This idea of the woman falling asleep and the basket falling off her head is captured by a pasuk as well. Ba'atzaltayim imach amikore. Through laziness, the beams cave in. The Rashi points out over here, a lazy woman is her effectiveness, her malacha is not nikur, is not noticeable. One can also understand this to mean that if a house is maintained or not maintained, if the one that runs the house doesn't do so with diligence, it eventually caves in and falls apart. Continuing in the Gemara, Hahu da v'koma v'ozil. Gavra d'rachitzna ole, the person that I depended upon, that I trusted in. Adya l'gzize v'kom, he raised his fist at me to challenge me and stand up against me. Omar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, kroksiv. There's a pasuk that reflects the same idea. Gam ish shlomi asher batachti bo, and the man that was my my partner, my Ish Shlomi, the person that I was at peace with, and that I trusted in. The continuation of the pasuk says, Ochel Lachmi, that he ate from my bread. In other words, we were together. Higdil Olai Okev, he then turned upon me. Hahuda Ko'omar Ve'Ozil, Ki Rechimtin Have Aziza, when our love was very strong. In other words, when my wife and I were in love with each other, apusya de safsira shivan, we were able to lie together on the width of a sword, or possibly on the edge of a sword, meaning because of our great love, we didn't need very much space. We were very happy and content together. Hashta de lo aziza rechimtin, now that our love has weakened, is not strong like it used to be. Purya bar shisen garmidi lo sagilon, a bed of 60 amas is not enough. In other words, when the couple is not at love with each other, even a large palatial residence is not sufficient for them. Each one needs their space, as is commonly said. Omar Rav Huna, in this case Rav Huna interjects or shares his pasuk analogy, whereas up till now we saw Rav Shmuel saying these to Rav Yuda. Rav Huna says, Kroi Ksivi, a series of psukim, when threaded together, echoes this sentiment. Hence we've numbered off 1, 2, and 3, the psukim, and when combined you will see the same idea reflected. The series of psukim here deal with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and his relationship with Klal Yisrael, which was originally a relationship of intense love, as is this one who learns the Sefer Shir HaShirim sees this expression of love, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu attempts to draw himself, to endear himself to Klal Yisrael, and hence the Shir HaShirim is a book that is an analogy of two lovers with one another. Here the psukim deal with the original plan, or the original setup was the Mishkan that had in it an Oron HaBris, and the Oron HaBris was the dwelling place for the Shekhinah, which was a very small area. The Gemara will present a Tanaic source that gives us the dimensions of the Oron, and that was sufficient at the beginning. But as time went on, a larger structure was needed, and then eventually that was destroyed, and the Novi Yeshaya describes how even the whole world is not enough for me anymore. Meikara, the Gemara goes on, Meikara ksiv, at the outset it says, V'no ardati l'cha sham v'dibarti itcha me'al ha-kaparas. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I will communicate with you from on top of the cover of the holy ark, of the Oron Bris HaKodesh. V'tanya oroin tishav ha-kaparas tefach harei kan asora. This source describes the height of the Oron. It was 9 tfochim itself, and a kaporas of an additional tefach, equaling 10 tfochim in height. Uksiv that, and that was the original dwelling place, so to speak, for the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the midst of Klal Yisrael. Uksiv v'habayisa shebono hamelech Shlomo l'Hashem shishim amo orkoi ve'esrim rochbo u'shloshim amo klimoso. This pasuk indicates much larger dimensions for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. Ulebesov ksiv, and then finally it says, Koyama Hashem, Hashemayim kisi, vo'eret hadom ragloi, ezo bayis asher tivnu li, ve'ezo moko minuchasi. Kodesh Baruch Hu refers to the universe as is the Shemayim is his chair, and the land is as a footstool. And what house could you possibly build for me? Where should I be able to dwell? Indicating that even with all the space available, it's not enough. Notice we have a period here, indicating that the continuation of the Gemara is not a continuous flow, but rather by taking advantage of the arrow that you see into the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see an arrow pointing to Vav Amud Beis. That means that one should glance over to Vav Amud Beis and skim down the left-hand side of the Gemara text, namely the same side of the Gemara text where this arrow appears, and try to find an arrow indicating Zayin Amud Aleph. Well, if we do that, if you start from the bottom up, then you'll run into the arrow pretty quickly. At that point, there was the Gemara quoted a pasuk that had said Lo Seguru Mipnei Ish, and the featured word there we dot underline Lo Sachnis Devarecha Mipnei Ish. Don't gather in your words. Don't remain silent. The Tanaic source at that point was dealing with a student who sat in front of his teacher, who was was conducting a case, serving as a judge, and the student who was not serving as a judge saw that his rav was making an error, was making a mistake. The Tanaic source tells us the student is not to remain silent. He should not gather in his words. So the Tanaic source took the word soguru to mean gathered in. At this point, the Gemara wants to know, my mashma, the high lo soguru, lishna de kenushi hu. Where do we see the word lo soguru in the context of gathering in? To answer this, the Gemara provides us with three approaches. And as you skim down the next couple lines, you can see them numbered off 1, 2, and 3. And in addition to that, we've also used a dashed underline to accentuate the word in the word agur, as a shoresh, the word agur, as being the basis of saying gather in. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kra, v'yayin lo tishteh v'lo se'egor. So in translating that particular pasuk, we say v'lo segor, and don't hoard, don't gather in. Rav Acha bar Yankiv Omar mehacha, from this pasuk in Mishle Perek Vov pasuk Ches, tochin b'kayetz lachmo, agro b'kayetz machola. The pasukim there are describing the behavior of ants, that they prepare their food in the summertime. Agra, they gather in, they hoard in the, during the harvest season, their food. Rav Acha Brei Rav Iko Amar Mehocha Oger B'kayetz Ben Maskil. Oger, again, to gather in during the time when things are available, a wise person gathers in when food is available. At this point, we turn to a new topic, and we can appreciate what we're going to see by glancing at our topic heading with a structural note as well. Because as you glance ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice a series of triangles with also squiggle underlines that are used in this context to accentuate the following. So we look at the note, we see Sidra Shel Memrois, a series of sayings, Shel Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Rav Yonason, that were stated by Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the name of Yonason, Be'inyan Dayonim, sayings that concern judges. And hence, what we've done, in addition to the triangles, which is a standard series marking, we've also accentuated the word dayon. Omar of Shmuel Banachmein of Yonison, called dayon shedon din emes lamito, any judge who judges in an honest, accurate fashion, mashre shechina b'Yisrael, he causes the divine presence to dwell in Israel. Shenemar, Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas El, the Elohim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is present amongst judges. Bekerev Elohim Yishpot, the Mitzudas David on Sefer Tehillim explains that Bekerev Elohim Yishpot, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, sits amongst the judges, as if he, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is judging along with them. And this pasuk is actually a doubling of the same idea to strengthen this theme. That's according to the Mitzudas David. So you see that when judges are behaving properly, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is amongst them. Hence, he's dwelling amongst us in Klal Yisrael. However, for Dayan Sheino Don Dim Enemes Lamito, a Dayan who behaves in the opposite fashion, Gori Mushrina Shetestalik Mishrael, he causes the divine presence to leave Israel. Shinemar, Mishoid Aniim, Me'enkas Evyonim, Ata Okum Yomar Hashem, through the destruction of the poor and the cries of the impoverished, meaning they're not receiving proper judgment, they're being taken advantage of. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gets up and leaves the Shar Beis Din. He leaves. The Omar of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar of Yonason, Kol Dayan Shenotel Mizev and Noisein Lozeh Shalokedin, any Dayan who takes from one and gives to the other unlawfully, HaKodesh Baruch Hu Notel Mimenu Nafsho, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will take from him, from that Dayan, his very life. Shenemar Al Tigzol Dal Ki Dal Hu, don't steal from the impoverished simply because he's poor and weak. The Al Tidake Oni Bashar, and don't oppress the poor man in the gate, usually the gate of judgment. Ki Hashem Yoriv Rivam V'Kova Es Koivehem Nefesh, for the Kodesh Baruch Hu will argue their case, and if need be, he will take away the soul of those that oppress the oppressed. The Omar of Shmuel Bar Nachmin or Rav Yonis and Li Oivom Yiret Dayon Es Atzmo, a judge should perceive himself Ki Ilu Cherev Munachas Lo Bein Yirei Chosov, as if there's a sword positioned between his legs, the Gehenim Psucha Lo Mitachtov, and purgatory has opened its mouth underneath him. Shen Emar, the Posuk says, Hine Mitoso Shel Shlomo Shishim Giborim Soviv Lo Mi Gibori Yisrael. The Mita of Shlomo is surrounded by 60 warriors. The warriors are a reference to Talmidei Chachamim. Kulam Achuzei Cherev Melumdei Milchama Ish Charboi Al Yirecho Mi Pachad Balelos. Each one of them is held by a sword. They are Melumdei Milchama. They are accustomed to warring in Torah. They're aware, they're scholarly and know how to argue in Torah. And all of this is from fear of the nights. Mipachado shel Gehenim, for fear of Gehenim, shedome lelaila. Gehenim is, the purgatory is compared to the darkness of night. And hence, this serves as a basis of that which Rav Yonason said, that a Dayan should always perceive himself as being in a dangerous position, where this should motivate him to judge honestly, because otherwise purgatory is open underneath him and he can just fall right in. Dorash Rav Yoshio Vitemer of Nachmon Bar Yitzchok. My dichtiv beis David ko amar Hashem dinu laboiker mishpot vatsilu gozul miad osheik. In this pasuk it says that you should judge cases in the morning. V'chi baboker donim v'chol hayom ein donim. Is it so that only in the morning judgment takes place and not during the rest of the daytime hours? So obviously the pasuk is not to be taken literally just to judge in the morning, but rather the following, and the Gemara will offer an explanation how to understand the pasuk. But before we go on, we notice a house marking, one of our series markings. Let's glance at the outside margin to see the role of these markings. So we have a nosei mivne, a topic heading with a structural note. The house is featured lipsok hadin rak im borur lecha. These are referred to instructions to judge the case and reach a verdict only if it is clear to you. And that's what the Gemara now says. Ela im borur lecha hadavar kaboker imreu. If something is clear and bright to you, like the morning is full of light, then say it. The im lav, if it's not clear, al tomreu, then don't issue the verdict. Don't rule. Don't say it. A second approach. Rav Chiya bar Abba om Rav Yonason mehocha emor lechochma achosi at im borur lecha hadavar. If something, if the matter, if the case in front of you is clear to you, is as clear to you as that which one's sister is forbidden to him, just like it's very clear to everybody that one cannot marry his sister, so too, if you have that level of clarity with regard to the case you're judging, then omreo, then issue the verdict. The im lav, al tomreo, if it's not that clear to you, then don't say it. Omar of Yeshua ben Levi, Asura Shiyoshvin Bedin, Kolor Tzalui Betzavar Kulan. 10 who are sitting in judgment, it's as if a chain is hanging around their necks, meaning that they are on notice to judge carefully. Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Lo tzricha, the teaching of Rabbi Shulman Levi is necessary to include not just the actual judges, elo the Talmud hayoshiv lifnei rabo, even a student who's sitting in the presence of his Rav and sees that the Rav is making a mistake, he is not to remain silent, but he has to speak up. We see another series marking, in this case the double underline is one of our common markings, and an explanation is found in the outside margin, Shnei Maisim Shel as two incidents, Shel Asifas Achirim Ladun Biachad, whereby the Rabbonin collect others to judge a particular case or incident, whereby they don't want to judge by themselves. Ki hechi di imyeh tos, so that if there should arise a mistake in their judgment, ha'einish yischalik b'nehem, the punishment that is due to a judge who errs will be distributed amongst all of those who are sitting in judgment, and hence the harshness of the decree of whatever punishment is in store will not be felt so intensely, because the measure of retribution will be distributed amongst all of those, as opposed to falling upon one by himself. And we now see this in the Gemara. Rav Huna ki havi osi dino lekamei, when a case came in front of him for judging, michnef u'maisi, michnef he gathered and maisi and brought, and would bring asora rabbonim mibei rav, 10 scholars from the base medrash. Omar, and he explained why he was doing this. Ki hechi delimte shiva mikshura. Let us turn to Rashi for the translation of this. The third line from the top. Denantin shiva mikshura shiagienu nesuras ktana min akora. That there should, nimtin is arrive upon us, shiva, dust, like sawdust, from the korah. Kshura is a korah beam. What's the analogy here of sawdust from the beam? Klomar, she'im niteh, if we should make a mistake, yishtale she'inish bein kulanu v'iklu me'olai. The punishment will be not as if a heavy beam falls on me alone, but rather it'll be scattered, the same beam will be scattered amongst all of us as sawdust, so to speak. Rav Ashi, the Gemara goes on, ki havi osi trefsa l'kame, when an issue concerning judging an animal that was slaughtered and a seeming problem arose, and he has to rule on it whether it's a trefa or not, michnef umaisi lulukulu tabchi demasu machasi, he would gather all of the tabchi, the people who dealt with meat, who are experts in trefus, to sit together with him and judge the case. Omar, and he said the same thing as we saw before, ki hechi delimtin shiva mikshura. Before we go on, let us glance at our new title, new topic heading, Nosei. Point one, ein lehamid dayan elim kein hu doyme lemelech. One should not appoint a judge to sit in judgment unless he is like a king. What the analogy between a judge and a king is, we will see in the Gemara. Point number two, Hamodas Dayon She'eno Hogun, appointing an unfit judge, Doyma Linatiya Sashera, is tantamount or comparable to planting an Asherah tree, an idol worship tree. And that too will be explained in the Gemara. Continuing now in the Gemara, Ki Os Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi arrived, he told us the following, Dorash Rav Nachman Bar Koyin, Mai Dichtiv Melech B'Mishpot Yamid Eretz, V'Ish Trumos Yar Sena. Literally, a king who is in judgment establishes the land. However, the man of trumos, of gifts, will destroy. The explanation now. Im dayan doime lemelech she'eino tzorach leklum. If the dayan is like a king, that he is not dependent on anyone else, yamid oras, and he establishes the land, and things are good. What does it mean that he is eino tzorach leklum? So Tosfos shares two pshatim. The first shot is similar to that which Rashi shares with us over here as well. So Tosfos says, Koma de gomir v'sovir, that he is knowledgeable, he's absorbed knowledge from outside, and he himself knows how to decide things on his own. In other words, he is not dependent on others, that he has to ask other people to explain things to him. Rashi says over here that he's boki b'tiv dinim umolei chokma kemelech ze shu oshir, that he's full of knowledge regarding judgment. He has a wealth of knowledge, as we say, just like a king is perceived as a wealthy individual. Then, as the Gemara says, yamid aretz. The Tosfos goes on to say v'chein muchach, and this pshat is clear. Midamaisi Allah to Beinasiya Ukmudaina Delo Gomir, from the following Gemara, the Gemara that follows, that describes a case where the house of the Nasi set appointed a judge that was not learned, and he was a negative character. So we see that the positive feature is one of learnedness. However, Umiu, the Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th Perek, the Ksubas of Maseches Ksubas, Maisi Law, this idea of a judge being compared to a king is brought al Dayan Sheinu Makabel Shochad, referring to a judge who does not doesn't accept bribery. In other words, a judge who doesn't need any money, namely he's like a king in the sense that he's very wealthy. So a type of man like that will not be prone to taking bribery. Hence, that's the analogy according to the Gemara in Ksubas of what the type of judge that's like a king in terms of actual wealth. So we have two pshatim here. Either he's wealthy, has a wealth of knowledge, or he has wealth literally. Let's continue in the Gemara. The im doime l'koyin, if the judge, however, is like a koyin, the nature of a koyin is when Klal Yisrael received land upon entering the land in the time of Yeshua, all the tribes received land except for Shevet Levi. Included in Shevet Levi are the Kohanim. The Kohanim, what was their source of sustenance? They had to go from farm to farm to the different granaries and get and receive handouts, which is known as Truma. So, of course, for a Kohen, that's the way he is supposed to live. However, if a judge is someone that requires handouts, and using the two pshatim we had before, either he doesn't have a wealth of knowledge and he's dependent on others for his knowledge, or he doesn't have wealth, he's dependent on others for handouts. And in that sense, he's like a Kohen, and that's what the Gemara says. If he's like a Kohen, v'im doyma l'Kohen shemechazer b'veis agronos, that has to circulate amongst the different granaries, yarsena, then a judge like that will destroy the land. He can't judge accurately, either because of lack of knowledge or because he'll be prone to taking bribes. Debei nesia ukmu dayana dolavi gomir. The house of the Nasi appointed a judge that was not learned. Omru le Yehuda bar Nachmeni mitur gemone de Reish Lakish. They turned to Yehuda bar Nachmeni, who was the miturgimon of Reish Lakish. The role of the miturgimon in the Shas we find time and time again as an individual who apparently had a public voice feature. In other words, he was someone whose voice carried to the public. He would stand next to the Rav who was saying a shiur, and he would be the human public address system, the human PA system. So they turned to Yehuda bar Nachmeni, who served in that role for Reish Lakish, and said, "Kum ole b'amora," say over to the public the things that he is saying, this inappropriate dayan, this unlearned dayan. "Kum gochan ole," so he stood next to him, bent over to hear what he was saying, and then would, with the intent of then broadcasting it to the public. "V'lom ole v'lomidi," and the man remained silent. He had nothing to say. He simply was unlearned. Posach the Omar, most likely Yehuda bar Nachmeni said, or maybe one of the others there said, "Hoy oimer lo eitz hakita uri le'evan dumam." Woe unto he who says to the tree, "Awaken," or to the stone, "to arise." Hu yore hine hu tafus zaha v'kesev v'chol ruach ein birkibo. The intention here is to say that someone like that, who's not learned, he's just laden with gold and silver. Apparently, he's in pursuit of wealth and hence not learned. he has no spirit in him. The Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lipora Mimamidim, and in the future the Kodesh Baruch Hu will seek retribution from those that appoint judges like that. Shenemar Vashem Behechal Kodesho Has Miponov Kol Haaretz. This is a continuation of the pasuk that described the judge who is like stone and wood. So the continuation of the pasuk says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will Has Miponov Kol Haaretz, that because of this sin of having appointed a judge like that, the whole world will be destroyed. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere describes the act of sitting in judgment as being a partner in Maisa Bracious. So we see there's a very strong relationship between judgment, and certainly accurate judgment, and the maintenance of the creation of the world. And hence, an aberration and distortion of proper legal procedure results in the undoing of the world. Omar Reish Lakish, Kol Hamamid Dayon She'enoi Hogun, Ki'ilu Notea Asherah B'Yisrael. Anyone who appoints a judge who is not fit, it's as if he is planting an idol worship tree in Israel. She'enemar, and this analogy is seen from the Psukim. Shoiftim v'shoitrim titen l'cha. The pasuk instructs us to appoint judges and police. V'somech le, and in the same proximity of that pasuk, it says lo sita l'cha ashero kol eitz. Rashi explains that the term eitz is a reference to a dayon, so that you see the pasuk is referring to the appointing of dayonim, and hence if one is not appropriate, it is like the planting of an idol worship tree. Amar Rav Ashi, uvamokim sheyesh talmidei chachamim, in a locale where there are Torah scholars and an unfit judge is appointed, ki'ilu notoi etzel mizbeach, it's as if the Asherah tree was planted not just in Israel, but as if it were planted right next to the mizbeach. The analogy here is that Talmidei Chachamim have a atonement capacity whereby they are mechaper, they protect Klal Yisrael, just like the Mizbeach was a source of atonement, that through offering korbanos on the Mizbeach, a person achieved penitence and atonement. So that one who appoints a situation where a dayan who's not fit is appointed, and there's in the locale of Talmidei Chachamim, it's as if he's planted next to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach being the analogy to Talmidei Chachamim. Shenemar, Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. In the same pasuk that was just mentioned, Lo Sita Lecho Ashiro Kol Eitz, Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. Ksiv, Lo Sasun Iti Elohei Chesef Elohei Zohov. The pasuk literally means that do not make idols of gold and silver. If one were to infer from that pasuk, one would come up with the following incomprehensible conclusion. Elohei kesef, Elohei zov, hu delo avdi, ha de'eitz, shari. Are idols of gold and silver forbidden, but ones made of wood would be allowed? So how are we to understand the pasuk? The pasuk that's forbidding idols of gold and silver. Omer Rav Ashi, Eloha habo b'shvil kesef. Eloha means a judge that was established, was appointed because he paid a lot of money to the king to get that appointment. Veloha habo b'shvil zahav. That is what is not allowed. That's what don't appoint judges who attempt to get to their position through paying for it. We see now a diamond marking, and the explanation of that is provided on the side. Nosei Mivneh, we glance at the side, we see the diamond. Amirois Rabbonim Sheldivrei Anova, comments or sayings of Rabbonim that were of expressions of humility. Behofa'asam Barabim, on the occasion of their appearance in public. One, Ladun, their appearance to judge, to serve as a judge. Or bedrosha lifnei aregel, or in a public drosha that was held in public before holidays. Usually 30 days before a holiday, there was an expectation to engage in halachas concerning those holidays, the upcoming holidays, and those drushes, those public discourses, were held on the Shabbos, on a Shabbos, 30 days before the Yom Tov. The Gemara now explains, Rav ki have osi lebe dina, when Rav was on his way to judge, Omar Hochi, he said regarding himself, Biravas nafshe lekatlo nafik, that Biravas nafshe, on his own will, he goes out to get killed. The person is going to judge. If he makes a mistake, we've seen already before comments how dangerous it is to judge improperly. So Rav takes this very seriously, and he says that one who's going to judge as if he's going out to get himself killed willingly. V'tzavi beise les havi ovid, and the tzorche beise, his own household needs, he doesn't do, because in sitting in judgment, one goes out to do that, and he's not expecting any financial remuneration for that. V'rekon lebeise ayel, and he doesn't profit anything from having gone out to judge, so he goes back, returns to his house empty. Ulevai shte bioki yitzia halavai, his coming back should be like his going there. Rashi says, when I left my house, I didn't have any sin, and I should be able to return without sinning either, without making a mistake in judgment, and hence be able to return without the mistake and no need for punishment. Continuing, when Rav would see a group of people amassing in back of him, following him, this, of course, could be a source of a feeling of pride. Oh, look how many people are following me. So as to do away with that feeling of pride, he would say the following. Omar, Im yale l'shamayim si'o, v'roshoy l'ov yagia, if a person should be able to rise heavenwards and his heavens reach his head is in the clouds, reaches the clouds, kegeloloy l'netzach yoved. Gelolo is waste, glolim, feces. As feces forever, he will be destroyed or lost. And as one can see from here, that the idea being conveyed is even if one thinks that he's big stuff, he should realize that's not the case, because at the end everyone goes to the same place. Marzutra chasida, ki hava mekasfile b'shabata de rigla. Marzutra, when they would carry him on their shoulders during the on his way to the public drosha, that's known as Shabbos de Rigla, Rashi explains 30 days before the holiday, on that Shabbos, he would hold forth regarding the halachas of the upcoming holiday, and he was being treated with a great deal of honor by them carrying him on their shoulders. Omar Hochi, he would say the following, Ki lo le'olam choysen v'im nezer l'dor v'dor, that the strength does not last forever. Dorash bar kapora, menoha milso v'yomru rabbanan, from where is derived that which we find in the sayings of the rabbanan, we find in Pirkei Avos, havu mesunim bedin, that one in judgment should take it easy, should not be quick, should, the word mesunim, like hamtona, should wait, look into the case thoroughly, analyze the case in front of him before issuing a judgment. So what source is there for that in terms of psukim? Dichtiv, lo sale b'ma'alois, in describing the altar, the mizbeach, it says that the rising to the mizbeach, because the mizbeach was quite a few amos off the ground, and the offering of korbanos took place on the top of the mizbeach, how would one go from ground level to the top? So the pasuk says, don't rise by malos, by steps, but rather we know there's a ramp that is known as the kevesh, that's used to get to rise to the top of the mizbeach. So the pasuk says, lo sale b'malos, don't use steps. V'eile hamishpatim, the idea of steps, Rashi explains that when one goes from step to step, it's with a great deal of strength and haste, and as opposed to it makes a sharp rise, which indicates something that's happening quickly, as opposed to the gradual rise that's represented by a ramp. And so next to the pasuk describing don't use the stairs, it says ve'eila hamishpatim, and these are the laws. Hence, we take from this that judgment should be done gradually and not in the fashion that's exemplified by the rising of stairs. Omar Rebolozar, minayim l'dayin shelo yifsa al roshei am kodesh. From where do we know that a judge should not, literally it means walk over their heads, but Rashi explains it means walk between the people. Rashi says over here, al roshei am kodesh shekshohaya hameturgamon doresh, when the, we saw the meturgamon was the human PA system, when he would hold forth the shir in the public, hoyu hatzibur yoshim la'aretz, the population, the people assembled, sat on the ground, and he who walked between them, in order to get to his place, it would appear as if he's walking over them. So we're instructed here, the Rav is instructed to arrive early, not be in a position where the public is already there and he has to walk between them. Shenemar, lo sale b'malois v'somichle v'eile hamishpatim. And Rashi says that it's this idea of not walking over people is a warning to the judges as well. And the beginning of the pasuk, there's lo sale b'malos, is not to walk over. This idea of taking steps over, in our case it was walking between the people, but rather arrive early. Asher tosim, the pasuk says. In our, the pasuk says ve'eva hamishpatim asher tosim lifnehem. What does it mean that he places laws? Placing something is a verb that one would associate with something of a physical nature, not something abstract. Asher telamdeim miboyalei. If you're dealing with laws, it should say these are the laws. These are the mishpatim asher telamdeim that you should teach them. Omer of Yirmiyah, Vitemor of Chiyah bar Abba. Elu, these things, as referred to in this pasuk, the Eva hamishpatim is a reference to klei hadayonim, the vessels that a judge used as part of his court procedure. When dealing with vessels, so vessels being physical objects, we can say place this object in front of them. What are we referring to? We'll see a little bit in the next line of the Gemara. We'll see what this means. Rav Huna ki avin nofik ledina. Rav Huna, when he was on his way to judge a case, Omar Hochi, he would say, he would instruct as follows: Apikuli moni chanusoi. Bring out my store vessels. In other words, I'm going to judgment, and I have vessels that I take to my job. And what are they? Makel uritsua v'shufa v'sandala. A makel is a stick. That's for carrying out a corporal punishment for violating dinim derabbanan, known as makas mardus, one who violates rabbinic teachings and is thereby chayev to receive a punishment. It's carried out through a stick until and then the person is actually beaten. Uretsua, this is a strap. This is for carrying out malchus. Malchus is associated with one who violates lavim in the Torah. Veshufra is a shofar that's trumpeted when someone is declared to be excommunicated. Vesandala, a shoe, this is part of the chalitza process. So when the pasuk says Eila Hamishpatim Asher Tosim Lefneim, according to the Gemara over here, it's a reference to physical vessels that are part of the judging process. Vo'atzaveh shoftechem bo'esahi. Omar Rabbi Yochanan keneged makel uritsua tehei zoriz. The word atzaveh has as its root tzav. Tzav is a word is of indicating be diligent. So the Rashi, we have a little asterisk in the Rashi to make the point found quickly. Rashi says a few lines down, Shiu matilin emo ala tzibur l'shem shamayim, that when the judges are judging and they have these sticks and straps at their disposal, they should use them for the purpose of casting fear on the public. However, it must be done l'shem shamayim. Hence, the idea of Zoriz, they should be diligent in their role and make sure that they're using these things for the purpose of for L'shem Shemayim, for divine purposes and not for some type of self-gain or self-exercise of power. Shemoa bein acheichem u'shvatetem. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice the appearance of triangles in our comments on the outside margin, the Nosei Mivne, Mekoros, Shiofiu, Habali Din Biachad, Bifnei Habezin. We're going to see sources that indicate that litigants should appear in front of the court together, not a situation where one appears by himself and then the next one comes later. So we saw this pasuk, Shmo Avin Achechem Ushvatim, Omar Rabbi Chanino. 2 points. Number one, Azora lebeisdin shelo yishma divrei balei din koydim shiavo bal din chavero. This is a warning to the judges that they should not hear the case, the pleas of one litigant before the fellow litigant is there as well. And that's ushvatim bein achechem. They should be together. The azora, and there's also a warning here, lebalei din shelo yatim dvarav ledayin koydim shiavo bal din chavero. Kri kanami shma bein achechem. The second warning here is to the litigants, as we said, that the litigants should are warned not to one that they should have a situation where one speaks privately to the judge before his fellow litigant comes. So both sides in this situation are warned, the judges and the litigants. And how do we see both sides are involved? So the pasuk, as we read it, was Shmoa bein Achechem, and the pasuk can also be read as Shma bein Achechem. Rashi explains at the end of the narrow lines, Shma devorecha bein Achechem. That your words should be heard. Your words we're addressing here the litigants. Kishetiu shnechem yachad mashma. When both of you are together, then let your words be heard. So we see warnings to the judges and to the litigants. Rav Kahana Omar Mehocha, he says that these two warnings that we've numbered as one and two are found in the following pasuk, Milo Tisa. The pasuk says in the Lo Tisa es Shem Hashem Elokecha Lo Shov, and we're supposed to take this to mean through the fact that the Torah doesn't have vowels in it, you can also read the same word as lo tasi. The lo tisa is an azora to the dayan. The Rashi explains this: lo tisa, lo tekabel shema shov, azora la dayan, that he should not receive false speech, false hearings. The kori bay nami, you can read this as well: lo tasi. That is azora labal din, that in the verb form of tasi is causing to be heard. That's a reference to the litigants who are saying what they're saying. We see now the use of a double underline. This double underline is an indication of a series, and we can see on the outside margin that is the Nosei Mivne, and there's also an indication that it's until Daf Ches Omed Aleph. This double underline is used to highlight Droshos Al Hapsukim. These are going to be explanations of the Psukim Dvorim Perek Aleph Tezayin through Yud Ches. These Psukim, and we've also included them on the side of the Gemara, Psukim are written out. Tezayin, Yudzayin, and Yudches. The sections in the Gemara that have received the double underline are quotes from the pasuk, and you can see if you have Daf Ches in front of you, it continues down the upper, almost halfway down the next omid. So we will begin the drushes now. Ushvatetem tzedek. Omar Reish Lakish, tzedek et hadin v'acharkach chotcheihu. Make sure that your verdict is fair, and then issue it. To understand this, what does it mean to make sure your verdict is fair? We will continue in the Gemara. Bein ish uvein ochiv. Omar Rav Yehuda, afilu bein bayis le'aliyah. Rashi explains that if you're sitting in judgment, a case involving an inheritance, a man left a piece of property, a house with apartment with two floors to it, a house with two floors, an apartment on a lower level and an apartment on an upper level. The judge should not simply say, oh, you're two brothers, so you one takes the lower level, one takes the upper level, and be done with it. Because the lower level is worth more than the upper level, so that the brother who's getting the second floor, there is due to him some form of compensation in order to balance the inheritance, to make sure they both get an equal share. Uvein Gero, we're going to take this pasuk to mean an expression of migurim. Migurim means a dwelling. Amar Yehuda, Fimu Bein Tanur L'Kirayim. Following the theme that we just had regarding a two-story house, let's say there's an issue of division of vessels, and a person left a tanur and a kirayim. A tanur, they're both units for preparing food, for baking, for cooking food. However, one is worth more than the other. A tanur is considered more valuable than a kira, so that, once again, a judge shouldn't say, well, each one takes a cooking unit and be done with it. That's not true. That's not fair. Rather, the one that took the kirayim is worthy of receiving financial compensation as well from the one who took the more expensive tanur. Loi sakiru ponim bamishpat. Rav Yehuda Omer, lo sakirehu. He takes the word takiru to be don't show favoritism to him. If it's someone that you like, that you love, so the dayan is warned, the judge is warned, don't show favoritism toward him. Rebbe Lozer Omer, he takes the same word takiru and darshans it differently. He says, Omer, lo sinakreu, if it's someone that you don't have affinity towards, don't distance him, don't treat him as a stranger. In the negative sense, that's tenakreu. Don't push him away. Ushbezichne derav also the kamei ladino. Ushbezichne is an innkeeper. This is someone that Rav would stay by, would be hosted by on his travels. This man came to Rav with a case that needed judgment. Omar lo, Rav turned to this fellow, said, Lav ushbezichni, aren't you the innkeeper by whom I stay? Omar lo, in. Yes, I am. You identified me quite accurately. So the Gersa adds here, Omar le, my boyis, what do you need? What are you doing here? Omar le, dino isli, I have a case that needs judgment, and I would like you to be the judge that sits on my case. Omar le, Rav says, well, yeah. Since your role as being my host was just mentioned, pasilna loch ladino. I'm rendering myself unfit to judge your case. Tosfos at the top points out, marchi koyo atzmo. He was removing himself on his own. Avo min hadin lo misa. But by letter of the law, Rav is not unfit to judge the case. But he took extra precautionary measures. Amalei Rav, the Rav Tana, the Gemara here at the top of Ches Amar Aleph continues and says that Rav, who just voided himself from judging the case, he turns to Rav Kahana and he says to him, Pok Dine, you go out and judge the case. Chazye, Rav Kahana, noticed that this man had a very sense of self-confidence and security. Dehavi Goyis Bey, Rav Kahana noticed that this man was feeling on top of things. Amale, so Rav Kahana said, he warned him. He said, "Eat tzaisa. If you listen to the ruling, then very good. Ve'i lo, if you, because of your self confidence and feeling that you're on top of things, he was soimech on Rav being his visitor, his guest." And if you don't listen to my ruling because of this inflated ego that you have, mafikno loch rav meunach, I will. This expression appears many places in the Shas, which really means I will excommunicate you. The literal translation is offered by Rashi. Rashi says mafikno loch rav meunach. Meunach, Rashi here explains mikochacha, like rachis oni, strength. I will remove
I remove Rav from your strength. I will inform you that Rav cannot help you, and why won't he be able to help him? Because you will be excommunicated. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.